The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, October 27th. That means only one thing. Pew, 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 pew. It's a Brady Quinn football show. Pew. What's up?
I'm excited.
Oh, you know what? I like your glasses. I like your glasses.
Thanks, man.
I mentioned that because I was, you know, sometimes I like see you doing dumb stuff on television on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Or like not dumb stuff, but like amusing stuff.
You see it?
Yeah. I rewound it and videotaped it. Like I meant to text it to you, but I forgot.
So can I tell you the backstory behind that? There were Rob Stone.
But so people know you're on the big show.
Big Noon Kickoff.
The Big Noon Kickoff on Fox Sports every Saturday. It is a good, it's an entertaining watch leading up to college football with Pat Leinart, Reggie Bush. Bob Stoops.
Bob
Stoops. Yep. Bob Stoops. Great host. And anyway, Brady's doing this thing with his glass. I think it was your glasses or the Leinart's glasses.
It was Rob Stone's. It was Rob Stone's glasses. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway,
go ahead. The best part about it was I kind of had the idea. And this all stemmed from that Saturday Night Live skit with Chris Farley. I'm the biggest Chris Farley fan you'll ever see. Like, love Tommy Boy. Love Black Sheep. Used to watch those on repeat when I was young. Beverly Hills Ninja. Like, I loved anything Chris Farley was in. And so there's this skit where Mick Foley, right? And he's like, I don't know. What do we got here? We got a Bill Shakespeare? And he's like doing that whole thing with his glasses. And it like hit me because we're watching Oklahoma and, you know, playing Lawrence, Kansas. And Kansas is taking it to him. And I'm watching Caleb Williams, who now is the freshman quarterback that they inserted for Spencer Rattler, who was the Heisman favorite, was the presumed number one overall pick next year's drafted quarterback. Got benched. So Caleb Williams goes in and he throws an interception that I'm like, is that Spencer Rattler? It looks just like him out there. So that was kind of the genesis of where it came from. The funny part was, and Leinart started dying laughing because our director of production, they get into like showing the Caleb Williams interception because I kind of told him what I'd be talking about. And then it just hit me. I'm like, oh, I need to do like a Chris Farley bit from Saturday Night Live. And I was doing this forever at the desk, and for whatever, like they didn't cut out of the, I swear we ran like three different angles or shots of the interception, and Matt's laughing because he's like, God, you were doing it for so long before they finally realized what you were doing.
You were like trying to make it a bit and like, that's
right. Great. Like you're just trying to add some humor to it, trying to have some fun. To be honest with you, we get in there at 5 a.m. We don't leave till sometimes 5 p.m. Like it's just nonstop college football. You get goofy, man. You get a little bit wacky when you're in there just watching games, watching like upsets, watching people have some bad beats. It's all fun, but I get a little wacky sometimes there, man.
No, I mean, it was entertaining. I wouldn't bring it up if it was like dumb. It was amusing and entertaining. I did not get that it was a Farley bit, but now that I realize you're a huge Farley fan.
Biggest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe not the biggest ever, but like, I'm sure like one of them.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm sure. I was going to do a bit, but I'm not going to. We are short on time today, so let's dive into the content. I also love Chris Farley. I'm not suggesting I would be bigger. I mean, you're pounding the table for Beverly Hills Ninja, so that means you are truly a big Chris Farley fan.
I mean, Dirty Work. All right, Dirty Work.
Dirty Work. Isn't Dirty Work a Norm McDonald?
Norm McDonald. Yes, yeah. But also Chris Farley plays an incredible role where he gets his nose bitten off by a. I will leave it at that. So
that's how big of a
Chris Farley fan I am.
What's your favorite Farley SNL skit or SNL character?
It's not a character. I don't know why this one tickles me every time I think about it, but I think it's like this sure acting ability that he has. It's the Columbia decaffeinated coffee commercial. it's so simple and it was so brilliant. Because I remember the commercials and I was like, this is so simple and so well done. But it's just like when he's at like a very nice restaurant And he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's good. And he's like, sir, do you realize you're drinking Colombian decaffeinated coffee? He's like, you just see his face go, what? He's like, you're drinking a Colombian decaffeinated coffee. Why, you son of a bitch. And he just goes into it. There's like a guy with a frying pan hitting him. The entire restaurant erupts. Like, that was one of like the low-key funniest skits ever that he did outside of like everything else. I mean, the Patrick Swayze dance-off, right?
Yeah, Chippendales.
Chippendale, that was amazing. But that one like tickles me to this day because it's like so easy and so simple.
And Tommy Boy, I mean, like, I'm assuming everyone who's listening to this podcast has watched Tommy Boy. If you haven't watched,
show this world a thing or two, we're gonna
but if you haven't watched Tommy Boy in the last 6 months, or much less, like, if you haven't watched it like 6 years, you need to go watch it again. Not only is it hold up, it's just a fantastic movie.
Like, well, Black Sheep does too, though, especially when you involve politics. Like,
oh, true.
That
true.
Whole Black Sheep for sure does. And just the dynamic of him and David Spade. But like, once they have to go away, once they realize he's the Black Sheep of the family and like this isn't going well, him helping his brother campaign. And once he goes up to like the log cabin, like that whole series of scenes.
But it's like, Black Sheep is literally just Tommy Boy with a different, like, it's the exact same plot. It's like Farley must go on road trip with Spade to Saul. And don't get me wrong, it's a great plot. It's just hilarious. They were like,
vote for Al Donnelly. All right. Easy. Two completely different scripts. All right. It's vote for Al Donnelly.
Okay.
All right. Versus, you know, being the heir to what is the auto brakes king or whatever the hell is going on. I mean, there's no Dan Aykroyd in it. So I guess that'd be the biggest.
What's the Aykroyd line at the end where he's like, after Rob Lowe gets hit in the nuts with the sandbag on the crash test dummy, he's getting arrested and hauled out. He's like, send him a note. It's like, send him a bottle of champagne. It's like, I sit down with these. he's like, sorry for your L. I sit down with these.
I personally liked when they're standing in the elevator and he like turns around. He looks around and he goes, what's that?
Pine needle air freshener.
And again, like, I feel like today's youth doesn't appreciate it because most of them don't understand like that tree that was hanging from your rear view mirror, like right there up your windshield, like that was on everyone's car.
Went a little heavy on the pine tree air freshener, kid.
Right. He's rubbing on himself. Like everyone had that back when they were young and you're like driving a car in high school or something to make your car smell fresh. Like that was the thing.
Oh yeah.
And nowadays you never see that now.
Right. But anyway, I had to look it up. It's a tough break. Send him a bottle of bubbly with a bucket of ice in a car and have it say, tough break, get drunk on me. Use the bucket to ice down your marbles. Yours, Z. All right.
Let's talk about sticking my head up.
I can get a good look at a butcher by staring. I can get a look at a cow by sticking my head up a butcher's ass.
It's got to be your ball.
And here comes a man with the meat hook. All right. Devo's like, I cannot believe that you guys spent the first 7 minutes of this podcast quoting Tom. Like, but kind
you know
of
what though? Anyway. Again, I'm such a big fan. Like, I could talk forever about him. He was one of the funniest human beings to ever walk the planet, in my opinion. So.
Without question. Okay, let's get to let's do some serious
fat
football.
Guy in a little coat.
Let's do some serious football talking.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but the World Series started last night. Hopefully, the Braves won. You know who wasn't in there, Richard?
The Yankees.
there's a pick six mock draft in the feed, by the way, with a pick six. It was a live show, 1 p.m. live show. Ryan Wilson every Tuesday mock draft. Make sure and check that out. Thursday, 1 p.m. live. Oh, sorry. That's not in the podcast feed, just YouTube channel. Thursday in the podcast feed and live on YouTube, the pick show with myself and RJ White. I am the coldest human being on the planet right now when it comes to picking NFL games. So you should come on Thursday at 1 p.m. and watch Pete Prisco mock me ruthlessly. Believe me, he's planning on it and he will do it. And it's okay. It happens. We also do, of course, live recap Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night, pick6.com or youtube.com/pick6. Let's talk some trades that could happen before the deadline instead of you focusing on my picks, Brady. Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears I don't know if you know this. He is actually still on the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure Matt Nagy knows it. I'm not sure Justin Fields knows it. This guy all he wants to do is play for a good quarterback. And these are, by the way, from Cody Benjamin's article, 10 trades that should happen before the trade deadline. Allen Robinson was going to be a free agent. The Bears knew he didn't want to be there. Franchise tagged him anyway, which is their right under the collective bargaining agreement, and brought him back. And now they're just not using him in the passing game. I mean, why would they not try to get a like, they don't look like a good team, and they could probably get a pretty decent pick for him.
I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't understand why we don't see more action during this time of year in the NFL when the trade deadline hits. It does seem like at this point, given the circumstances, like, what would you rather him do? Just walk off into free agency and move on, tag him another year. So why not?
Because the best, obviously the best pick you can possibly get is a compensatory pick at the end of the third round.
Compensatory third round pick.
Right.
And so look, if you're betting for that and you've shopped around, you don't think you can find anything close to that, then it makes sense. Right. I mean, that's the reality of the NFL. I think we probably would see a little more action if the compensatory picks, or there was a different formula for the compensatory picks, but as far as teams he could go to, you know, I think you put in the rundown like the Ravens, that might make some sense.
Ravens were actually Cody Benjamin's choice for where they could potentially get, for where Robinson.
Right, right. I think you could throw down any team that's, you know, in contention that's looking for an extra little boost. Like, I always think the Chiefs, only because, yeah, they've got Tyreek Hill. Yes, they have Travis Kelce. I feel like they're, like, best suited when they had that kind of reliable, like, other third option. And I'm not saying that that's the reason for their struggles this year. It clearly seems like Patrick Mahomes is pressing. There's been sometimes he's forced the ball. There's been some unlucky stuff. I mean, passes that should have been caught that were tipped that weren't. But you add him to that mix, and I think you've got a great dynamic of three different guys that you don't have to be as two-dimensional and have to run the football. You can have three guys who can go pick the top off of defense or make plays for you or win matchups. So that'd be another team I'd throw into the mix because I think they're aggressive and they can. The Ravens, the Chiefs, outside of that, I mean, maybe you'd say the Steelers, although that's not really their style. And I think when you look at what they already have with Claypool and Johnson and some of the other pieces, Freiermuth at tight end, I don't know if it's a huge necessity for them. So This is one where, like, I think if you're Matt Nagy and, you know, as who is right now, you know, may not even coaching this week with COVID, you're probably more worried about your job security. And so you trade away a guy like this. How does that help you down the stretch where your team looks abysmal? Your quarterback's playing the worst of any starting quarterback right now. It's not all on Justin Fields. He's a rookie, but they're sure as heck not putting him in a position to succeed. So I would think, like, you need all the talented players you can get, even though it doesn't seem like they're trying to get him the football. It doesn't seem like he's excelling there right now, at least with what they're trying to accomplish. So this is a tough one to think that he'll go anywhere. Especially considering the compensatory pick that they would get if they just kind of let him go.
Yeah, so that's sort of the issue too. Is that, you know, you asked, you point out, like, I'm surprised there's not more action. I think it's because the trade deadline is fairly, I mean, it's not early in the year, but I mean, November 2nd. I mean, that's not, you know, it's in the middle of the season, and teams like the Bears, who are 3-4, the Panthers 3-4. San Francisco 2-4, Washington 2-5, Philly 2-5, the Giants 2-5. Like, we look at these teams objectively and say, these teams are not very good. But those teams internally are either saying, okay, we can make a playoff push, and somehow it's realistic because the seven seed in the NFC is Minnesota right now at 3-3. So it is realistic. And also, to your point about Matt Nagy and job security, if you're Nagy and you're trying to save your job, or Ryan
Pace, saying Nagy or Nagy? I can never, it sounds like you're saying Nagy. Is it Nagy?
Nagy?
Nagy? I think it's Aggie, Nagy. Like an Aggie.
I think it's Matt Nagy. Nagy.
Are you saying Eggy?
As in Matt Nagy.
Can we get a proper pronunciation from Debo? I'm just curious because it looks like it's spelled Nagy. You seem to be saying Nagy.
Matt Nagy.
Like it's spelled N-E-G-G-Y.
Like yay or nay. Nagy. Matt Nagy.
Do you ever hear anyone say nay, by the way?
No, but the more we're saying this, the more it's weirding me out. It's like one of the, you know, like, it's like an imaginary
word. I'm just saying, I feel like it's pronounced Nagy, but you say Nagy.
I might say it both ways different times. I don't know. I wouldn't
trust always me. Like, it always hits me weird every time I hear it. I'd be curious to see what the listeners think. Yeah, because you say it different than anyone else in the face of the planet.
Debo has just chatting me. Is it Matt Nagy or Matt Nagy? Why? I mean, what if I?
That's what I already asked.
I don't even know which one's right and which one's wrong. This is like
that's
when.
What I'm asking.
Have we talked with you about Breach and Tyrann Mathieu?
No.
Have you ever heard Breach say it? Say.
How does he say it?
I'm going to play it for you because I have it on my soundboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ready?
Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu.
Mathieu? I mean, what? Mathieu? Does he always say it that way?
He also says Bell Belichick. Like, he doesn't call him Bill. He calls him.
So Nagy is like your, everyone calls it Nagy. You say Nagy.
Yeah, that's at least like reasonable.
Tyrann Mathieu.
Is that a Southern thing?
It's insane. Mathieu? But so, like, what's happening?
Mathieu's odd.
We made this like such a thing that like several times both Ryan Wilson and I have gone on the radio, like radio spots and said Mathieu because we've heard it so many times because we played the bit. Anyway, the Bears coach.
Brinson, tech Slack. I just want you to, I found, Nagy talking about Nagy.
So this is a thing.
See, now Debo's saying it.
Well, I'm reading Rick Morrissey tweeted. This was January 12th, 2018. Please, everyone, especially sportscasters, stop calling the new coach Nagy. He told the Sun-Times it's pronounced Nagy.
Hey! So it is Nagy. You're right.
Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy.
Like that I'm saying it right. Exactly. The only two people on the planet saying it right are me and Matt Nagy.
That's crazy to me. So it should be pronounced very different than how it's spelled.
Yeah, I think that tweet that Debo found, good call, Debo. I think that tweet that Debo found may be why I say it that way, or I've heard him talk about it because I see it. It looks like Matt Nagy, but it's Matt
Nagy. We worked out together back when he was an Arena League quarterback.
Really?
For the Columbus Destroyers. Yeah, there was a guy named Greg Fry, who was a former Ohio State quarterback that I worked out with a little bit. I think he played in the USL for a minute. And I remember we went down to Bexley's Field to go through some drills. And I think I had just maybe gotten in the NFL or drafted or whatever, but I was back home. I just wanted to get a workout in. I wanted to see Greg. And I remember throwing with him. And I was thinking to myself, like, God, I'll be able to play forever. Because, in football, if this is what, an Arena League quarterback looks like, I'll be able to play forever if I want to play in the Arena League. But he didn't say much. Like, wasn't an overly nice guy. Like, kind of just, went about throwing and stuff. I don't know. I could have been a senior in high school or college, or had just been drafted. I can't remember when, but I do recall that day. It wasn't really overly windy, but it was kind of windy. I don't know.
Was it windy enough to carry your sailboat across the lake?
We were over in Bexley, which is downtown Columbus.
It was a Tommy Boy joke because this.
Quit playing with your dinghy.
It's not a dinghy. It's a sailboat. I'll come over there and rip your head off. But to the larger point, this shit is off the rails.
Can we move on to Xavier Howard and the Dolphins or like another team? We're like,
but my point was, if you're Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you know that you're on the hot seat. And if you start trading away players, it shows that you're admitting a mistake and you're saying we're not good enough to make that. We know we're not good enough. And ownership.
They're saying we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
That's just Wayne's World. But yes. I haven't seen that forever. Anyway, but the point being is you can't trade off these guys because then ownership, because you're playing, you're coaching in GM.
Yeah, you coach for your job right now. Yeah, right. 100%. Right. You're right. And you're taking a long time to make this point, but you're right. You've been saying it for like 2 minutes now.
Well, that's because you keep interrupting me about pronunciations in Wayne's World. So
you can't help it. But we found out it's Nagy.
I knew it was Nagy, but at any rate, the teams that I think would make sense for Allen Robinson that can't happen. Because of the standings and where Chicago sits, New Orleans would make a ton of sense. Like the Saints, from a fit perspective, and they're getting Michael Thomas back, so not as huge a deal. San Francisco could use him.
Are they getting him back?
Maybe. The Green Bay Packers could use him, but obviously the Bears are not going to make a trade with the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if I agree with that, though, too. I mean, I get that, but I mean, so what? They're going to bring on Allen Robinson? I mean, and once Devontae Adams comes back, they give him 1,000 targets a year. So I think what they've got right now, they've got working for him. I mean, Devontae's on the COVID list. So it is what it is.
I mean, I'm just saying he would be, I don't think that trade would happen. I'm just saying the Packers are consistently mentioned as a team that could use an additional wide receiver. Maybe you like Valdes-Scantling, maybe you like Alan Lazard. A secondary option wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the Green Bay Packers. The there's another team I saw that could use him that I'm forgetting now. The Colts?
Yeah, probably. I think that's a team that makes the most sense only because they're trying to get back into it, right? Make that playoff run. They're on a much better pace. So that would make maybe the most sense of any of the teams that like aren't quite there yet, but are trying to catch, you know, Tennessee in their division and be a wild card team. I mean, the fascinating thing is just the AFC North because no team's sub 500. Yeah. And outside of the Bengals, I think they've got plenty there. I don't think the Browns would be looking for one either. And then you've got Baltimore, which I guess could be a potential landing destination for them. But I feel like,
how do you say Bengals, by the way?
Bengals.
Bengals. No, that's the band. It's the Bengals. I think you say,
how are you saying it?
I'm catching a bang in there.
Yeah.
Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals, like bang. It's
the Bengals.
Like Joe Burrow, bang. Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase, bang.
Bang.
Bang. Bang.
What is happening? I love it.
The Bengals.
It's not the Bengals. Bang.
It's the Bengals. It's Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase, bang.
Xavier Howard. The Bengals. Bang. We're going to get some tweets in this one.
Because Debo's fantastic rundown makes some sense. I mean, even though I think their defense is actually playing better of late, that'd be one team. I mean, again, I keep throwing in Kansas City just because their defense is arguably the worst in the league and their secondary is, you know, performed, has been very underwhelming with their performance. Outside of that, I mean, you could have made a case for the Bucs, right? Yep. It's a different conference. It's a team that's dealt with a bunch of injuries at the cornerback position. He's one of those talented, you know, in the league. So that'd be a team that I think would love to load up, grab him, move on from there. You can even make the case for the Saints, the team you mentioned, but I think opposite of Lattimore, I mean, they drafted Paulson Adebo. He's done okay. You could always use more depth there and a guy like that there to have two lockdown corners. I think that helps out their rush too. So there's a number of teams that fall into that category, but I mean, probably the last one too.
A team that would make sense. Bill Barnwell and I talked about this on his podcast, but I don't
49ers.
Think the Titans.
Yeah, but that defense is getting better too. Like, I'm not giving up on that group. I think they've started to play their best football the past 2 weeks, and even defensively. I would think that, look, the Seahawks, you can make the case for the 49ers. I think they could utilize him too. Like, defense just hasn't been the same. So there's a number of teams like that could use a top cornerback in this league. So, again, it just depends on, like, what you're willing to give up.
Cody has them – giving up a 2022 third round pick and a 2023 fifth round pick for Xavier Howard. That's not enough. I think he would cost.
Yeah, because it's really a third and a sixth if you look at how teams look at it, right? Because they look at a fifth round pick 2 years from now as a sixth round pick in this upcoming year.
Yes. I think it would cost that's not going to get you Xavier Howard. It's a good article by Cody. I'm just telling you that's not going to be enough. I think Barnwell and I were talking about maybe even a first round pick for Xavier Howard if he swapped with the Titans. Very, very quickly on the Titans. You actually know what we'll talk about it later. I was going to ask you about the way teams are defending Mahomes, but we have a limited amount of time and I'm.
Well, we can get to it. You just have to ask the question. Let me talk quickly. So.
All right. What are teams doing to, cause you mentioned the Chiefs needing help. You mentioned the Titans defense. What are teams doing that is perplexing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense?
I don't know if it's perplexing so much as they're playing more split safety defense and more zone. I mean, most teams can't match up, so they're not going to play man, which if there's not man, then there's not going to be as many running lanes even for him to take off. There's not going to be as many opportunities to create pick plays and meshes and things like that, or just, you know, vertical routes that are going to be able to get guys open when across the field. So when you're playing more zone, you got more eyes on Mahomes. You got, you know, playing much softer coverage, lighter boxes. I mean, we've seen teams, no blitzing because why? You know, you're going to blitz a guy to sacrifice him in coverage when you need all you can in coverage. I think the thing that struck me the most that I'm concerned by is like when he gets outside the pocket now, it's to his detriment. It's not to his benefit. And it used to be, and that would kind of reminded me of him at Texas Tech. When he got outside the pocket, teams were like, all right, like you're going to cut the field in half and you can might throw it everywhere, but you're going to take some chances and make some poor decisions. And he's done that. Again, it's not all on him, but that's the area of his game that he just needs to learn to throw it away, scramble up and take 4 or 5 yards, get down, take a check down, take the easy completion that's there, and learn to kind of work things methodically. I think defenses have adjusted to the point now where you're just seeing more split eye safety zone coverages, more zone in general, and just much softer coverages against them, daring them to say, hey, beat us dinking and dunking down the field. Run the football against us. Like, we dare you. Hey, Patrick, we're not even going to account for you. We're going to do a 3-man rush or make what looks like a 4-man rush and then drop a guy out and then go ahead and run if you want. We'll give you 5 yards if you're willing to take it. And I think that's the hard part for him. He's had so much success doing whatever he's wanted to, putting balls in windows that we very rarely see in the NFL. And unfortunately, now it's not working out for him.
That was a no-look pass. And yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, it's and the other thing, too, I think, is the Chiefs' defense is not very good. And so Mahomes,
it's awful.
Yeah,
they're giving up 7 yards per play. We talked about this. Like,
right.
That's
my point is that Mahomes is pressing to make up for a bad defense. And yeah, and a defense that can be run on, you can melt clock when you run. And
low key, another thing that like flies in the radar, their defense is so bad. Like, it hasn't been great in the past. It's so bad now. I think one of the things that you used to see when they needed to come back in games is that they would get a 3-and-out. They would get some stops and they get the ball back. And remember when it just felt like, hey, they put their foot on the gas.
Here they come.
Like, you can't stop. Like, here they come. Like, that's how you felt as a fan, is like watching them. And now it's like, yeah, their defense isn't getting that stop anymore. Like, they're not getting a turnover. They're not getting a negative play, getting behind the sticks on first, second down. That's not there. They're just out there wasting time, letting offenses do whatever they want, giving up 7 yards per play. That's the other way where I feel like he's pressing even more, because he's just not getting as many opportunities or the ability to keep that rhythm they build.
Yeah, because he knows that each possession, he's not getting as many possessions because his defense can't get off the field. So every possession he's pressing, and instead of taking that check down or that throwaway, he's trying to hit the home run and score 14 points. When, you know, obviously you can only score 6, but mentally that's tough. And
yeah,
you know, and it's sort of the same thing we saw with Josh Allen for a couple week stretch last year, where Tom Brady, when teams started, they're like, all right, you know, we're not letting you take us up top anymore. We're, you know, beat us underneath. He's like, okay, cool. And, you know, he like just bing, 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 bing. And for whatever reason, the Chiefs offense just hasn't adjusted to it. It's wild. I think they'll figure it out, but, you know, it's not a great year.
Right.
Kyle
a lot
Fuller.
Of football left to be played.
Brandon Cooks.
A lot of football left to be
played. Brandon Cooks. Surely the Texans will trade somebody, right? I mean, Cooks is, by the way, Brandon Cooks has been secretly traded 17 times this year, like in his life.
He's been traded, what, 3 times in his career?
Drafted by the Saints, traded by the Saints to the Pats, traded by the Pats to the Rams,
Rams to the Texans. Yep. So this will be his 4th time. I'll tell you this much, man. When he's healthy, he's effective. He's quick. He's got good hands. Not the biggest, but there's something to be said for you if you're traded 4 times. Like, you can be like, oh, well, you know, you're used goods. No one wants you. It's like, no. You're so valued, like, you don't get cut. Like, teams trade for you and teams are willing to trade for you again. I mean, it's impressive. So he could fit a lot of different places. I mean, God, put him back in New England. I mean, they could use a guy like that who could take the top off of defense. I think his skill set fits to what Josh can do with him underneath, to give him some catches to then complement downfield passing. But he'd be a good fit there. He'd be a good fit. You know, I think obviously the Packers is kind of who we have down as one of the teams, which seems to be a popular team. I'd love to see him Kyle Shanahan's offense personally. I think that'd be really neat.
They could use some help at wide receiver. Kyle Shanahan decided to just put Brandon Ayuk in the doghouse this year. He's just, apparently, I mean, according to Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, they explained that Kyle was, quote, frustrated with Brandon Ayuk so far. So maybe they could use some help. But again, if you're, you know, I mean, the Texans should be trading people. Obviously, they're 1-6. I don't know if San Francisco is necessarily squatting on enough draft capital to go out and add more wide receivers when that's not really their biggest problem, but I agree. He would be a good fit there. Does Tampa need to, I mean, I know they have Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, loaded the position, but as good as they are, Yeah, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller. I mean, is there any reason for them to add more depth at the position and just really like super team this thing?
No, I mean, the Panthers are the team that I think I'd look at if I was them. Now, granted, you might be trying to give up draft capital for Deshaun Watson. That's a whole other story, which we haven't got to him yet. But, I just kind of look at it and think, like, I'm looking at rosters that seem more depleted. Like, the Dolphins would be an interesting one, too, only because you've got some guys after this year who will be moving on. I mean, they've invested in the draft. A guy like Jalen Waddle, obviously, and you still have Gesicki and Mac Hollins, other players who've stepped up, but, like, kind of assume Parker's probably going to be gone. And so, you know, there's maybe a thought that it would make some sense there, but again, quarterback is paramount to all of that. And if you haven't have that figured out, then, you know, you probably want to focus on that first and save up your draft capital there. So that's the hard
thing. I mean, hey, if you're the Panthers or Dolphins, what you do is you call about Brandon Cooks and then Jack, just throw Deshaun in there too. We'll give you a couple more first rounders. Don't worry about it.
It's not a bad idea.
If I'm trading for Watson, give me Cooks too. Do you think Watson?
The problem is like the Texans need him. You know, yeah, I mean, like they're like, who would be a team that could use a wide receiver? The Texans.
Well, the Texans could use a lot of things.
And Tyrod Taylor's coming back. So
who gets traded first? Nick Foles or Deshaun Watson?
Watson.
Oh,
I think Philly's the team that's quiet that you need to keep an eye on, right? Like, they moved on from Flacco, and they had Minshew there, which if you think about it, was kind of brilliant because they got Minshew for a sixth-round pick. They trade Flacco, and they get back a conditional six, could be a fifth. So they kind of won out on that one. And now you look and you go, all right, they have three first-round picks. I don't know that there's any team better suited to take a swing at this. Literally, in 1 year, offer that to the Texans, which if you're trying to rebuild, which they are, in 1 year, you could have three top 15 picks as it looks right now. That's pretty enticing. And know Howie Roseman better than anyone else. We'll make them conditional picks. So if anything happens with Deshaun, you know, maybe those aren't necessarily going to Houston. But the reality is you could just have one miss on a draft in order to get Watson and to try to figure that out. Because I don't feel like the Eagles are a rebuild. I think they've got a lot of good pieces on that team. So I think that's the team to keep an eye on.
Two things on that. One, John McClain has reported, and we can't know this for sure, and certainly his mind can change, that Deshaun Watson said no to the Eagles. I mean, I don't see how, if you're Deshaun Watson, you can
say no to a team wants to trade for you, right? Yeah.
I mean, Houston, bro, you better be willing to take more than two destinations. I mean, what are we doing here? But two, the interesting thing about the Eagles trading for Watson would be that if you're Philly, part of your selling point to the Texans is, hey, if you trade him to us, it means the Dolphins don't immediately get better. And we're giving you the Dolphins pick. And that thing might be first overall or second overall or third overall. So it certainly would be if I'm Houston, I'm definitely listening to Philly calls. I'm very surprised at the idea that Deshaun Watson would say no to Philadelphia. That's a weird one. Nick Foles, what would be a landing spot for Nick Foles?
That's a tough one. I don't know.
Saints?
I mean, why? I mean, what's the purpose? You drafted Ian Book. They obviously felt comfortable doing that. They've still got Taysom Hill. I'm not sure what purpose outside of like for injury reasons. I mean, maybe Philly would look at it if they feel like they don't have enough depth or they're not wild about Gardner Minshew.
How about
bring him back again?
How about the Steelers?
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, I think Ben's fine, and I think they feel good enough about who they have in Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins. I don't see what the payoff is unless you've got a real need. I mean, I don't know, maybe San Francisco. I mean, Lance isn't ready. He's hurt anyway. And it seems like Kyle Shanahan's frustrated with Jimmy Garoppolo, which is like, dude, he just got back from an injury and he was playing in like a torrential downpour. Like, could give the guy, cut the guy some slack a little bit, but you don't have another option. So unless you think Nick Foles is going to come in there and light the world on fire, I'm not sure that makes a ton of sense. So I don't know. It's hard.
Also, I mean, like, look, I don't want to like bash Nick Foles or anything here, but I mean, the Super Bowl run's amazing, and that was an incredible. And he had the 1 year, it was like 28-3, or, you know, the touchdowns and interceptions. But like, other than those 2 years, and the Super Bowl run was like a 5-game stretch. I mean, it hasn't really worked out for teams starting Nick Foles. So, you know, maybe cooler Jets. Sure. all right, that'll do it.
I think if you saw Houston move on, from Deshaun. Maybe, you know, Houston would be willing to just have another guy down there. Davis Mills has struggled a bit. Tyrod Taylor's coming back, but maybe that would, you know, make some potential sense. I don't know. It's tough because I just don't really see the need that much right now.
I agree. All right, let's get out of here. Remember, Brady, brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
Brothers got a hug.
Brothers got a hug, Richard. All right, Brady Quinn, as always, a pleasure, buddy. See you, man.
See you, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.